Hi, I'm Jerry Hildreth. I'm the elected county sheriff here in Taos.
And so what's the history of sheriffs in New Mexico, and what does it mean to be a sheriff? Sometimes we hear you guys referred to just as county cops. I think there's confusion of when you look at the sheriff's department, and then there is like the sheriff, and then there's under sheriffs. And what do you guys do? How do you roll, and what's the history of sheriffdom? Is that even a word?
Well, it's probably not a word, but I'll roll with it. Sheriffs in New Mexico, as in most other states, they're elected. They're elected by the people to carry out the duties and responsibilities of the Constitution of New Mexico and the respective county that they work in. Sheriffs are law enforcement, so you have an elected sheriff, would be, in other words, a chief. And it's considered an office versus a department, where a police department is that that's governed by a municipality. A sheriff's office is that of an elected position, an elected office, like the clerk's office and probate office and treasurer's office and so forth. So I'm very honored to be the sheriff here. I wish I could tell you how many predecessors I've had, but I actually have never looked at that, so I don't know how many there have been. But I do know the first ever appointed in Taos County was appointed by Governor Bent, and New Mexico was still a territory in 1848. Mm-hmm. And our statutory duties now are governed by New Mexico Constitution and state law. A sheriff has the authority to appoint deputies, so thus deputy sheriffs who work under the commission and authority of the sheriff.
So Sheriff Stevens Lee did, I would imagine that he rode around on his horse and, you know, collected bags of gold coins or something, but I'm sure it wasn't that easy. Do you ever wish, and now we're just getting way off the subject, but do you ever wish that life was that simple, or maybe it was even more dangerous? I mean, I'm thinking in old westerns, there's like shootouts involved as you're like riding around trying to collect property taxes.
So we're talking about the 1840s. 1848 is when he was appointed. He was killed about 8 months or so into his appointment during the revolt. The revolt here in Taos, he was the first to fall during that revolt, where seven people were killed in the plaza at the old county courthouse that, you know, in part still stands today.
Including Kit Carson and Governor Bent?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. So Stevens Lee was appointed the sheriff. As I'd said, his primary duties were tax collection, and, you know, he ran the jail and so forth. During the revolt, he was the first that was killed during that revolt. Governor Bent was also killed at that same time. The sheriff was actually killed there on the plaza as he was retreating from the jailhouse to his residence, which was located across from where that is now, where the courthouse is now. You know, history on him is pretty vague. He had a daughter, but as far as we can tell, working with UNM and the Historical Society, we can't follow that bloodline to any living relative today, or at least not here in the Taos area that we've been able to find. You know, you mentioned something about simpler times. I think those were probably much more difficult times back then. You know, the average life expectancy of a person was, if they lived to be 40, that was a pretty long life back in the 1800s, right? Mm-hmm. I think we're a little better off than that now. Do I wish that I could spend more time on a horse? Absolutely, I do.
What are your duties now and responsibilities according to New Mexico statute?
Well, an elected sheriff, by constitution and state statute, is required to do essentially all the law enforcement duties of a state police or of a municipal police officer. While we don't do a whole lot of these cases that I'm about to speak of are very important. Missing persons. We currently, there are several in the Taos area. We are currently the case agent on one, Frankie Martin. Frankie Martin disappeared pretty much without a trace, April of 2016. It has not been found since. We have had a number of leads come in through Crime Stoppers and directly here to the Sheriff's Office tip line. And we've, of course, followed those through. But this one bothers me a lot. We can place his movements before his disappearance. You know, Frankie wasn't a bad person at all. This just makes no sense to us. And I know somebody out there in the community knows what happened and where he can be found. We have eliminated a whole lot of possibilities. And, you know, at this point, we are really seeking information from somebody in the community. And we plead with them, you know, if you don't want to call the sheriff's tip line here, 737-6480, then call Crime Stoppers. Remain anonymous. We're fine with that. Just give us some information so that we can put closure to this.
So let me ask you, Sheriff, you say that you could trace his movements up until his disappearance. And so for somebody who may have information, can give us information about where you think he disappeared or what some of those circumstances were?
Any information about his where he may be found now. Now, we can trace him throughout the day before his disappearance the following day. We know that he was at the Midtown Lounge, that he made a small purchase. We've secured the video surveillance. It clearly shows it was him. We know his clothing, what he was wearing. We know prior to that he had gone to the county solid waste and picked up trash bags to go pick up trash. Frankie had a small little hiccup with the courts, and he was doing some community service. It was nothing serious, but he was doing all the right things and in a timeline that he was supposed to. He even inquired about, well, if I don't use all these bags, do you want me to bring these back? What do I do with the trash once I've collected it? Who's going to sign off on my form? We know all of those things that happened. And we know after that, we actually know a general area that he stated that he was going to go pick up trash. And then we know that, you know, he went to the Midtown, made a purchase. It's after that that we lose Mr. Martin, that we can't. We have no idea where he went beyond that.
And that was almost a year ago, exactly?
Almost a year ago. You know, it was April of 2016 when Mr. Martin disappeared. Another case here in Taos is Holly White, who disappeared. Now, we're not the case agent on that. That's the New Mexico State Police that are working on that case. But we have worked closely with them, shared information, tips through Crime Stoppers and things that we've gotten. Done extensive searches around the area where her car was found and just never found her.
And then the most recent case, which you guys are also not the case agent on, is the woman Josie, who's a French woman who disappeared at the beginning of March. So you say that the missing persons element disturbs you.
It very much disturbs me. It's not uncommon maybe that somebody, quote, disappears for a day or two. Maybe they went and did something. They didn't tell their friends or their family, but they reappear. These ones that are extended, they really do bother me. And I know that there's answers out there, and I want those answers. I just don't have them yet. The one that you just spoke of, Josie, that is a Taos Police Department case. It happened on March the 7th, I believe, is the last time that she was seen. You know, it's been over 2 weeks now, almost 3 weeks. We're starting to get very concerned. Mm-hmm. And we're working with Detective Barry Holfelder closely on that. And if there's any information that comes forward that's outside of his primary jurisdiction, obviously we'll assist them in whatever they ask us for. We just want to bring closure to these. We want the answers.
Mm-hmm. And it's a tricky situation probably for you, but definitely for me in this sort of situation too. It's like I'm not wanting to freak people out, but I have been getting a bunch of emails like, it seems like there's a serial killer around, and that was definitely going around last year when Holly disappeared. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really a tricky one of where do you walk the line with that, because you don't want to incite panic and hysteria, and yet it's very bizarre, especially in a small community like our own.
Well, absolutely. And if there is a serial killer in our community, we need to know that information. We need to know who this suspect is. What relationship did he have with these individuals, if any? You know, we can do a lot of investigative work through elimination, and oftentimes that's how a case is built. we just need to know any information that anyone has, even if it's just a hunch or suspicion, so that we can do just that.
Okay, so why don't you give us the information of the best way for listeners to get that information to the appropriate detectives and law enforcement crews that are working, because we know we have...